This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Veterans Day, was delivered on November 8th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Good morning, you all. Woo, it's so good to be here this morning. Last week, the team gave me a short break where I got to watch the service from home. So I get to watch what you guys are most of the time watching. I know what you guys do when you're watching, because I did that. I was eating pancakes and bacon while watching Jennifer speak. So I know you guys are eating now and kicking back in your pajamas. And man, don't get spoiled, okay? Because one day you're going to return. And don't get in the habit of not meeting together, you know? We got to come back together sometimes, hopefully soon. But until then, if you can watch from home, that's great. And if you cannot, then you are welcome to join us here. We try to keep it to a point where we can kind of spread out a whole bunch. But man, so we have some announcements this morning. Men's ministry this Saturday, 5:30 right here, a.m., 5:30 to 7. We start early, so we finish early, we send you home. Women's ministry, 7:30. Via Zoom. If you need the link to Zoom, you got to send me your email address so that I can get that link sent to you so that you can hook up with them. Because, you know, you are assigned some work to do out of women's ministry, so it helps you to grow. Right? And then we have Operation Christmas Child. It's so different this year because usually we have packing party. Oh, sorry, you can sit down. My bad. I, you know, my first wedding I ever did, when the bride and groom came up, I forgot to seat the people. And after I pronounced you husband and wife, I look, oh, everybody's still standing. But yes, Operation Christmas Child, so you can come pick up your box over here. And if you're not here, maybe next week, Sunday, you want to just drive through and pick up a box, because you know we gotta turn this in a few weeks, and you can take it down to Big Island Toyota, and while you're down there, you can go see Pastor Dennis and buy a new car. Maybe your husband needs a new Toyota Tacoma four-wheel drive for Christmas, yeah. Maybe your wife needs just an oil filter for her car because you already got her one. But yes, come get these boxes for a good cause. So yeah, if you don't have one. You can drive to next week Sunday. We're here from 5:15, so you can drive to anytime, and we can just like throw the box in your window. Okay? So that, you know, you have your box to pack your box. All right. So announcement. Yeah. Oh, we're coming up. We're coming up on the holiday season really fast, man. How many of you got your Christmas trees up? Only me. Oh, Cheryl, Jeffrey. Yeah, I ate my turkey already. My wife put up the Christmas tree. There's a train going around the bottom. I mean, she just wanted to cheer us all up in this season. So I guess that maybe I came in second place to Jeffrey and Cheryl because they already got theirs up. So at least second place, right? So you guys better get on it. Not that we passed Thanksgiving. We're still coming up for Thanksgiving. So that's the announcements. Tithes and offerings. You know, we still have bills to pay. We still have ministries to do. And if you're able to give, if this is your home church, then yeah, you give. If you're not able, then I ask that you would pray for us. But we have a few ways you can give. You can text NHHI to 808-793-5588. Just follow the prompts. You can go to our website, newhopeasthawaii.com, and on the line on the top it says online giving. You can follow that. Or you can mail it to us at HCR2 Box 6617, KAAU Hawaii 96749. That's the three ways to get. Or if you're here, you can just drop it in the blue acrylic box back by our barista who makes coffee for us. If you're here, grab yourself some coffee, grab yourself some fried rice, because here at New Hope East Hawaii, we feed you two ways at one time, spiritually and physically. Amen. Did I forget anything? Did I forget? What did I forget? Oh, yes. You know, this week is Veterans Day, yeah, on Wednesday, yeah. It's like, you know, when we come across Thanksgiving, we say, oh, we should be thankful every day. When we come to Valentine's Day, we should love everybody every day. And Christmas, we should be joyful all the time. You know, I think Veterans Day, it should be anytime we see a veteran, we should just honor them and give thanks to them. Amen. And that's including Brother Walt, our Coast Guard retiree. But if you are a veteran, would you stand up? We just want to honor you. All the veterans, come on, stand up. Yay! I'm not a veteran, but I'm just up here, so I got to stand. Right, and then get Walt back to anybody else. Eh? And if you online, you know, thank you so much for your service and all that you have done to make this place a free country. We appreciate you. You know, I was looking at some stories online, and one struck me because it hits close to home, and it was about two Japanese-American men, Don Seki and Frank Water, and they remember that attack on Pearl Harbor on Honolulu as a kind of a dark day, because for them it was like a little bit darker for most because they're being Japanese-American, they were born here in America, and it led to them being labeled as enemy aliens, but still they served and rendered to the nation years in the years that followed. And they became part of America's 442nd, all Nisei regiment. When I say Nisei, that means American-born children of Japanese immigrants. And they became part of this 442nd, and they helped bring an end to World War II. And they kind of refuted our nation's worst instincts, like, oh, they were like traitors. And for me, when after my uncle passed away, I never realized, but at his funeral, they were telling that he was part of this 442nd. But he never said anything. He never bragged about it. He never mentioned anything. He just, at our party, just sat quietly, drank his beer, played his ukulele. You know, and I was like, wow, I wish I could have known that. I would have asked him for some stories. But while these American-born citizens of Japanese ancestry, you know, few of them had traveled to Japan or even spoke the language, but they faced intolerance, or they had a hard time getting jobs and integration into society, and these men were anxious to prove their devotion to their country, so they fought in five major campaigns in the European and Mediterranean wars, and they sustained massive losses. And they say the 442nd went on to become the most decorated unit of its size in military history. They received more than 18,000 medals for a battalion of 14,000 men over the course of the war. And what was their battle cry? Go, who said that? Go for broke. Yeah. Well, I had an amen out there in the parking lot. Go for broke. That's what we do when we go fishing sometimes. Go for broke. Walk that extra mile, get that extra fish. And I was like, wow, you know, it's amazing, you know. And to realize that my uncle was part of that. And I was like, wow. And I thought of this other saying that one year I was on the mainland, I seen this on the back of a pickup truck. There's only two defining forces chose to die for you: Jesus Christ and the American soldier. Jesus died for your soul. The American soldier died for your freedom. You know, we owe a lot to our veterans. I think we owe a lot to our veterans, and even to go further to their spouses, because they also sacrifice much for our freedom. You know, when you think of joining the military, you may think of, I'm going to join because I know I'm going to get good benefits. I'm going to get a good retirement. I'm going to get a good pay, or decent pay. They probably deserve a whole lot more than what they're getting. They're going to help me pay for my schooling. And I think, well, that's great, but when you sign up for the military, that's just the perks, because you're going to end up, you know, most of the time, like nowadays, you're going to end up getting deployed. And you say, well, I didn't sign up to go to Afghanistan or Iraq, but you signed up. You signed up thinking like you're going to get the benefits, but sometimes you sign up and you got to put in the work. You got to do what you signed up for. You know, and it says, our armed forces do not exist to pass out benefits. Our armed forces exist to deal with conflicts, to defend their people, to fight the enemy. You know, as we honor our veterans, and whenever you see one, just tell them thank you, and thank you for the service. And if you see them in a Starbucks or something, buy them a cup of coffee or whatever you can. You know, for you and I, we may not be veterans, but if you call yourself a Christian, you are in a war. And the enemy is the devil. And when you said yes to accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you joined the Lord's army. Sometimes, you know, we say yes to Jesus because I want peace. I want abundant life. I want salvation. I want eternal life. And we expect Jesus to be there every single time we call out to him. When we're driving down the road and the blue light is behind us, oh Lord, please, 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 not me, not me. And a police goes past you like, oh, thank you, Lord. But then when he asks us, hey, I want you to go talk to somebody about me. Oh, maybe not. You know, we expect Jesus to be there whenever we need him. But when he needs us to do something, we're not there. When Jesus ascended to heaven, you and I, we became his body. That's why we're called the body of Christ. And now we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him here on earth, and I hope we represent him well. So here's the first point I want to share with you. Are you a Christian just for the benefits? Really? Or are you ready to fight? Are you ready to fight? In Matthew 7, the words of Jesus, 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Well, how do I know what is his will? Well, when you read his words, you will discover his will. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons. And in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. Are we here just for the benefits, or are we really to do his will? To serve him? To put our selves aside so that we can do his things? Those who are hearing this message from Jesus must have wondered about the religious leaders who seem to be good, teaching spiritual truth. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? You know, do what they say, not what they do. You ever, you know, maybe you drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette, and you tell your kid, you better not be drinking or you better not be smoking. Kind of like, And you stay cussing and swearing, and when your kids come home cussing and swearing, hey, you better not swear. I wash your mouth out with soap. But, you know, do what I say, not what I do. So these guys were, like, looking good, but inside they weren't. And teaching the spiritual truth about the Messiah and his kingdom, Jesus made it clear that they were not good, for they were leading others astray. That's what these religious leaders were doing. Even if they were doing miracles, supernatural things, prophesying his name, driving out demons, and doing all these things, they were not obedient to the Father and continually doing his will. In Luke 6, 46, 47, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? How many of us, we call him Lord, Master, Savior, God? But when he tells us to do something, we don't listen. Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. You know, our outward expression, how we look and what we do, is not nearly as important as our obedience to God. It's not enough for us to call Jesus Lord, Lord. As a believer, we must do what he says. And he says, those who hear his words and act on them are secure, like a man building a house on a rock, on a solid foundation. And those who hear his words and do not act on them are destroyed, like a man who would build his house on the sand or without a foundation. It's like being in the military and your commander says, charge, and you retreat. You do what I like to call the Jonah. Yeah? Hey, go! And you run the other way. That's what I think what he's talking about here. When we call him Lord, we gotta show it by our obedience to him. Number two, are you prepared for battle? Because believe it or not, we're in a battle. Are you prepared? Do you get equipped every morning, reading his word, preparing you for the day? Ephesians 2:2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Here Paul is describing Satan as a devil, the commander of the power in the unseen world. Paul's believers believe that Satan and the evil spiritual forces inhabited a region between the earth and the sky. Satan is just pictured as ruling an evil spiritual kingdom. And demons are those who are against Christ. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. These who are not the flesh and blood enemies are demons over whom the devil has control. They are not mere fantasies, but they are very real. And we face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. And when you and I, when we believe in Christ, these beings become our enemies. And they try to device us to turn away from God and back to sin. Although we are assured of victory in the end, we must engage in this struggle until Jesus returns. Because if you accepted Jesus, you call yourself a Christian, you walk with the Lord, Satan is constantly battling against all who are on the Lord's side. Have you ever, when people tell me, like, man, I'm getting attacked, left and right, the enemy is attacking me, I tell them, you know what, that's a good thing. Because that means you're on the right path and he's trying to stop you. I would be more worried if I never got attacked every day. If everything was smooth sailing and I was in cruise control and coasting. But when you're coasting, which direction are you headed? You don't coast uphill, right? You coast when you... So if Satan is attacking you in your health, in your finances, in your relationships, in your car problems, your house problems, hey, praise the Lord, because I am on the right path, because I'm getting resistance from the devil. The plan of the enemy is to create and disperse misery, take away hope, and maintain a climate of despair and helplessness. Look at this world now. You can see despair and helplessness. We overcome evil with good. You and I, we must position ourselves daily as good soldiers in order to have the power to open the eyes of the blind and to release the prisoners so that they can see and believe. And that's our family and friends who are not yet saved. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Peter warns us, watch out for Satan. When we are suffering or being persecuted, if you're feeling alone, weak, helpless, cut off from other believers, or if you are focused on your troubles, that you forget to watch for danger. Those are the times when we are especially vulnerable to Satan's attacks. We should look for a growing awareness of Christ's presence and power in our lives. Then we will know that we are true Christians. We are being obedient. We are following him. Or we're merely imposters, just saying that I am a Christian. If we're not actively, purposefully seeking to grow closer to God every day, then what? Are we drawing farther away from him? I think being a Christian has purposeful intentions of doing what we need to do. Getting in the word purposefully, praying purposefully. Are you saying that I'm a Christian but not doing what he commands you to do? Is he telling you to go to battle? Because every day we're in a battle. And number three, are you active in the Lord's army? Maybe you consider yourself, oh, I'm on the reserves until they need me. We need you. Look at this world. We need you. There's more people out there than online or in here. So as of now, if you think you're in the reserve, well, I'm just calling you up your active duty right now. You're in active duty. You're in the Lord's army. Go. Go make disciples. Go preach the gospel. Go yell it from the housetops. Go save your neighbors, your family, your friends, your co-workers, your fellow students. Go. Are you active in the Lord's army? Because if not, we need to activate you right now. 2 Timothy 2:3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. In this section, Paul writes to Timothy, and he's encouraging young Timothy to be strong and Paul uses examples in a military way and in an athletic way. And in back in those days, because they were subjected to Roman rule, they would understand military terms, you know, because a Roman soldier's single-minded purpose, right, rigorous discipline, and unquestionable obedience to his commanding officer combined to make the figure of a soldier. And there was an appropriate example of a servant of God. And then with a quick change of metaphor, Paul switched to an athlete. And the metaphor clearly draws on athletic games, such as the Olympics. And the competitors in the Olympic Games, for example, require to swear that they had trained diligently. And Paul's grammar suggests that the issue was whether or not one is qualified to compete, but among those competing, who will win the crown. You know, every athletic event has its boundaries, its rules. Moreover, all who fail to discipline themselves to observe these rules will be disqualified. This metaphor or required, you know, the Christian, you and I, we should have strong qualities of discipline, self-control, endurance. And, you know, being a Christian, you gotta have some thick skin, because people will hurl darts at you and say things about you. But you gotta kind of have thick skin, yet you gotta have grace and love. Here's the thing though, you know, some people, they work out and they get physically fit and like, wow. It's a price to pay to be in that gym, to exercise, to go through that pain. One more, one more, one more, one more when you're doing your reps. But are you willing to pay that same price to serve Christ? Or do you think it's too steep? You know, when Jesus was on this cross with his arms spread out, I bet he didn't think twice about dying for you. Oh, I don't know if I should die for Scott. I don't know if he's about to. Not you, Scott. Okay, talking about me. Okay, I'm not, you know, I don't know if he's going to amount to anything. You know, he's only 5'3", and, you know, the wind blow hard enough, he's going to fly away. I don't think he thought twice about that. He said, I'm going to die for you, regardless if you turn and follow me. And it's just like a soldier. Some of those, they went to war and they came back to hate, which was like sad. They should have come back to love and an embrace. You think it's too steep a price to pay? Because I don't think Jesus said that when he died for you. In Matthew 16:24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. When you and I suffer for being a Christian, we share in a common experience. Not just with those who are alive today, but with all of those who ever suffered for the sake of the gospel. All the martyrs, missionaries, pioneers, they had to face what we face. And we need to have that same courage, that same commitment, that same willingness to renounce worldly pleasures in order to serve God. Can you, or are you willing to face the challenge of calling yourself a Christian, to being a part of the Lord's army, to take this gospel where it needs to be taken. Because really, like the Bible says, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. The harvest out there is so great, and there's only a few of us here. So we need to get activated in the large army, fight the battles, win people over to this side. Amen? You know, our veterans made sacrifice, paid a price for people who might not have even appreciated what they did. This week, as we honor our veterans, please take the time to thank them. Not just this week, but anytime you get an opportunity, anytime you see them, tell them thank you for what they have done, for the service they provided, for the freedom that we can appreciate because of what they did. Amen? And worship team, would you come up? You may put away your notes. Man, it's November. Thanksgiving will be here before you know it. So while we are thankful for our veterans, we need to be thankful for many other things. So start thinking how you can be thankful, who you can be thankful for, how you can show your thankfulness. All right, so we're ready to rock and roll in a few seconds. Yeah, would you stand with me? To all of our veterans, thank you so much for serving. We appreciate you greatly. And for those of you veterans out there watching on Facebook, Pastor Frank and God, Julie, your dad was one of our heroes. He was in his 90s. He's in heaven now celebrating Veterans Day, but he would be here every Veterans Day, so faithful. I miss him. But man, to all you veterans, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, Pastor Scott.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online in order to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.